The sermon this week I've entitled Stirred Up, based on 2 Corinthians 1, verses 20 to 22. I hope everyone had a wonderful, glorious Holy Week with a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. This time of Easter seems to be, for most people, a time where we think a little more spiritually than usually throughout the year. I kind of focused on Jesus' last words, "It is finished." Jesus, truly God and truly man, must have been relieved that the task was finished. Something that started before the world was ever made and humans were ever created. God knew if he created humans and gave them free will, he would have to deal with our sin nature, which would cause separation, which God never wants for us, humanity. During Jesus' day, people were allowed to go in and out of the temple to worship. They were allowed everywhere except one part of the temple, the Holy of Holies, separated from the rest of the temple by a large curtain, 60 foot long and 30 foot wide. A chief priest once a year was allowed to go in there for the atonement of sin. And Jesus, when he said his last words and gave up his spirit, when he said, "It is finished," that curtain ripped from top to bottom. What a sight that must have been. And it signifies for us that because of what Jesus did on the cross, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we have access to the Holy Father, to Jesus, and to the Holy Spirit. It is finished. Thank you, Jesus. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, this letter was not only to the Ephesians, it was to all believers. Subtitled, Paul's Prayer for Spiritual Wisdom. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for Christians everywhere, I've never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at the right hand in the heavenly realms. We may be successful in putting our personal affairs in place, but if we do it at the sacrifice of the more important, putting our spiritual affairs in order, we miss the joy. We miss the purpose. We miss the joy and the purpose of our Christian life. The tragedy of that life is not that it ends so soon, but that we want to hope it takes so long to begin it. Are you concerned only about taking care of business in this world? Or are you setting Christ at the center of your life? Ask the Lord to stir you up, considering all that he has done for you, and depend on the strength of his Spirit to build a spiritual life. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, Paul puts it this way. It is God who gives us, along with you, the ability to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment of everything he will give us. So the Holy Spirit guarantees that we belong to God and will receive all of his benefits. The Holy Spirit guarantees that salvation is ours and that we will receive much more when Christ returns. The great comfort and the great power the Holy Spirit gives us in this life is a foretaste, a down payment, an installment of the benefits of our eternal life in God's presence. Now and forever. With the privilege of belonging to God comes the responsibility of identifying ourselves as faithful servants. Don't ever be ashamed to let others know that you are his. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 33, in most Bibles, red letters, these are Jesus's own words. So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. What does that mean to you? I confess, when I first heard it, my flesh said, Lenny, you can't do that. And then my brain started thinking, can't do that. I don't want to do that. Sorry, I quit. I'm done. And then I remember I accepted Jesus. And inside my heart, the Holy Spirit stirred me up. He let me look at things in a proper perspective. Jesus' words are neither complicated or vague. He simply says, if you are going to call yourself one of my disciples, one of my followers, a believer in Jesus, you must release your grip on materialism. To keep all this in proper perspective, think of it this way. Jesus is not saying that we cannot possess anything, but that things must not be allowed to possess us. To use his words, we must give up our possessions. Corrie Ten Boom, that saintly lady who endured much brutality from the Nazis in Ravensbrück concentration camp during World War II, Corrie was not a Jew. Her crime was that she had compassion on the Jewish people and helped them. And for that, she suffered much brutality in the concentration camp. Corrie Ten Boom once said that she had learned to hold everything loosely in her hand. She said she discovered in her years of walking with Jesus that when she grasped things too tightly, it would hurt when the Lord would have to pry her fingers loose. Disciples hold things loosely. Followers, believers, we must learn to hold things loosely. Do you? Can you think of anything that has a tap root to your heart that is more important than having Jesus in your life? Let it go. Give it up to him. Yes, it may be painful. but how essential to our sanctification process. How essential for our spiritual life. Every person dreams, makes plans for the future. They work hard and see those dreams and plans come true. But to make the most out of life, we must include God's plan in our plans. He alone knows what is best for us. He alone can fulfill his purposes in our lives. Are you, as you make plans and dream dreams, talk with God about them? The curtain is torn. Even though we have access to God, we still have to battle. That battle will continue between our flesh and the spirit inside us. Which one has the most over us? Which one wins? The one we feed the most. We still have to battle between that old you, the BC, before Christ days, and the new you. But our sanctification process and our spiritual life depends. Get stirred up by considering all that God has done for you. Is God finished with you yet? If you're still breathing, the answer is no. Don't die until you're dead. Psalm 138:8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me and you." God is continually perfecting and fine-tuning each of us. He wants to fulfill all of his promises and purposes in our lives. Romans 11:29 says this, "For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. What God has put in you stays in you your whole life. And he still wants to use what he's given you in order to fulfill his plan for your life. So if you've done nothing with what he puts inside of you, he still wants to use you. If you failed many times, he still wants to use you. So how do you get stirred up again with God? Say this simple prayer. Lord, send small opportunities into my life so I can begin to use what you've put inside of me." I love this quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. "The creation of 1,000 forests is in one acorn. The accomplishments of your destiny is held in the seeds of your God-given gifts and your calling. God begins with a positive, and he will end with a positive. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, will perfect it, not until the day Christ comes back." Jesus hasn't come back yet. So that means God isn't finished with me, and he isn't finished with you. In God's will for us, he likes momentum, building from one good work to another. Don't just go on to other things, go on to higher things. The pains of being a Christian are all growing pains, and those growing pains lead to spiritual maturity. God's way becomes plain as we walk in it. When faith is stretched, it grows. The more we do, the more we can do. and greater opportunity and momentum is the reward for our past accomplishments. As human beings, deprived of the unlimited vision that God originally intended for his creatures to have, because of our defilement by sin, we cannot comprehend the glory and the magnitude of a spirit-filled life that lies so far outside our fleshly, carnal thinking. When we hear the word spirit, we immediately try to reduce it to our puny size, to make it fit within the scope of our small minds. It's like trying to explain the majesty and the awe-inspiring grandeur of the great oceans to a person who has never seen a body of water larger than a mud puddle. How can such a person envision the boundless sea? How could you make a person believe that such a wonder really exists? How infinitely more difficult it is for us to grasp what Jesus meant when he said, God is spirit, and that Holy Spirit, upon receiving Jesus, lives inside of us. Jesus knew his mind was not limited as our minds are limited. Jesus never sinned. His eyes were not focused on the mud puddle of life. He knew full well the borderless reaches of the Holy Spirit. And he came to try to give us some understanding of the Holy Spirit's wonders, the Holy Spirit's comfort, the Holy Spirit's peace when we let the Holy Spirit stir us up. In 1 Peter 5:5, put on the apron of humility to serve God and serve one another. Servanthood requires no unique skill. It doesn't take any seminary degrees. Regardless of your strengths, regardless of your training, regardless of how long you've been coming to church, you can love the overlooked if you get stirred up by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, talk with me about every aspect of your day, including your feelings. Remember that your ultimate goal in life is not to control or fix everything around you. It is to keep communing with me, Jesus says. A successful day is one in which you've stayed in touch with me. Even if many things remain undone at the end of the day, do not let your to-do list, if it's written or mental, become an idol directing your life. Instead, ask my Spirit to guide you moment by moment, and he will keep you close to me. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Can I get an amen? If you do those things, you will have a great day, and you will also have a greater eternity.